Action. Hey there, movie boos and ghouls. Welcome to episode 37 of the Real Gay Movie Show. I'm your host, Mike Bloodvins, and with me as always is my co-host, Ryan Cutthroatvost.
Wow. Is that your spooky voice or your, like, mask voice?
That's my...
Mask for mask?
Mask for mask, baby.
Now it's Michael Myers slash Mike
Edna
Myers.
Edna Bowes. Yeah, I don't know.
It's weird.
It's weird, but this is a special episode this
week.
It is
a special episode.
I figured I'd be extra weird.
Yeah.
So we decided this week, instead of talking about a single movie that's out, because there wasn't a whole lot great that came out this past week.
There was nothing great that came out this past week. It's I think the box office is ceded to Halloween again.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to be what wins.
So it's that break before the Oscar push movies really kick in too.
Yeah.
Yep. So this episode is dropping, I guess. You'll be able to listen to this on Halloween morning. So,
trick or treat, motherfuckers.
So we thought we will do a Fierce Five,
yeah,
and talk about some of our favorite scary movies.
Yep. Which, by the way, speaking of treats, you asked me about this. I said I was going to save it for a second. So I got my wine is wearing a Halloween costume today.
Okay.
I have my rosé in a squirt can.
There really is rosé in there.
Yes. I forgot to buy a can of rosé.
So you poured some.
So I was at home, and I have... So a friend brought this squirt over. Squirt, the grapefruit-flavored soda, which I don't
Not
like
the
grapefruit.
After thing of...
No, shut up. So I poured out one of these.
You didn't at least drink it?
No, it's disgusting. I poured it out,
squirt.
And then I filled it with the box of wine I have at home.
Ryan, you's a classy bitch.
Yep. So, yep, even my wine is wearing a Halloween costume.
Well, I am back on brand. I'm drinking White Claw, but I guess you could say mine is in a Halloween costume too, because it's in a Hilltop Lager koozie.
Yeah.
Which RIP.
Very spooky.
RIP.
Very spooky. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And you are dressed up in this awesome Batman attire.
Well, I have a Batman t-shirt that came with an attached cape.
Yeah.
So I
don't
caped.
Recall Batman ever wearing a yellow cape, but maybe he stole that from Robin.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. But it is what it is. and I was wearing it for a little work event I had before this. So here I am.
There you are.
Yep.
Well, I tell you what. Even though we're doing this special episode, I still have a little bit of news reel to go over this week.
Sweet.
Okay, you ready?
I'm so ready.
All right. So stop me if you've heard this one. So according to Deadline, Paramount has tapped Girls Trip writer Tracy Oliver to produce a remake of Clueless.
Yeah, I did hear about that.
How do you feel about that?
I wonder how Mark feels about that.
I know.
But no, I don't know. I think that's one that Clueless feels so 90s. So I think it actually could be remade and feel different enough to feel worthy of being remade, if that makes sense.
Maybe, but I feel like what made that movie so special is so tied to the time period that it was made.
But that's what makes it ripe for being remade. You can appreciate that being a very 90s movie.
Yeah.
While having one that ties in, that would feel more just of this time, the 2019 or 2020, whenever they're going to release this. That would have things like social media and all these things that have, that really shape our culture now, that to make it feel different enough. I mean, Clueless itself was a kind of retelling remake right. of...
Which I think they're also doing another Emma movie, too.
Yeah. So...
I mean...
So to say, how dare you remake this movie that was a remake of this other story? That seems a little inauthentic.
Well, I think there's a difference between a remake and a retelling.
Okay.
And I'm sticking with, I don't like it.
Well, that's fine. You cannot like it all you want.
It's not going to stop them from doing it.
I'm, as long as it's good, I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we shall see.
We shall.
You mentioned you might have something this week, too.
I don't might have something. I do
you
have
do
something.
You do have something. Okay.
It's very exciting. Very big gay news. Oh, yeah. We have a celebrity who maybe subtly came out.
I heard about that.
Mr. Taron Egerton.
Yeah.
He might be family.
Yeah, do you think that that's what he was going for?
So, if you don't know, if you're not, if you haven't seen this, so Taron Egerton, who a lot of people may know from the Kingsman movies, mm-hmm. from My Fantasies, he's going to be Elton John in a biopic about Elton John, and he's also going to be Robin Hood in a
right.
biopic about Robin Hood.
Robin Hood.
But yeah, so he's such a snack. But he posted on his newly created Instagram a picture of a boy, and the caption is "Cutie, my boy," and then a heart. And then apparently someone commented on it, and he about like, oh, is this someone you're like romantically involved in or something? He didn't respond, but he liked that comment or something. So, yeah. So it might have been a very subtle wink, wink. Here's what's going on.
Hey, if that's what it is, I'm all for it.
Yeah. Oh, me too.
I mean,
it's just how I've pictured it in my dreams. So, yeah, so that's very exciting. So if that's true, Taron, welcome.
Right.
Welcome to the family.
Welcome to the family.
We will embrace you with open whatever you like.
Right.
Arms or
legs or
whatever.
Whatever.
yeah. It's very exciting.
That is exciting.
I'll count that as a win. Win for us.
Cheers.
Win for the team. I mean, we will welcome anyone who... That's actually not true. We won't welcome anyone who chooses to come out. We won't welcome you if you come out the Kevin Spacey way, which is wait till you're accused of being a monster and then say, but wait, I'm gay.
Right.
That's the one way you can't do it. But pretty much.
And also, like, if Mike Pence were to come out.
Oh, yeah. No.
We would not embrace him.
Nope. You go right back in.
Right.
You go right back in. But yeah. But if that's how Taron wants to do it, then yep.
Bring it on, Taron.
Bring all of it on.
All over us.
Yep.
So,
he can be in my golden circle.
Makes you look just a little bit more forward to Robin Hood.
Makes me look forward to my dreams tonight. That's for
there
sure.
There you go.
Let's just say I will be Little John.
Well, let's get this moving then so you get to those dreams a little quicker.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. So we are talking about our favorite horror movies.
Yeah.
So before we start getting into our lists, let's talk about some of the kind of subgenres of horror that are out there and what might be
sure.
some of your favorites or some of my favorites. But
because horror as a genre has many... many different things, many different types of horror.
Right.
And some people prefer some over others. There's greatness in all of them, but some are just preferred.
Yeah. So some of the ones that...
What do you like?
Well, so some of the ones that come to mind immediately are the slasher, paranormal and supernatural. But then there's also like the creature features, sci-fi.
Yep.
But sometimes they also get a little comedic, too.
Yeah.
I think for me, I prefer more of the paranormal, supernatural, and sci-fi type
okay.
horror.
Okay. So ones where there's like a cursed demon or an alien or something.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Or ghosts.
Or ghosts.
You like the ghosts?
Yep, I do.
Is there a reason why you like those more?
I think when I was younger, I felt like slasher movies felt a little too real.
Uh-huh.
So, but also because I loved sci-fi in general, going kind of scary with the sci-fi elements and stuff like that too, just kind of felt natural.
When you're just a sci-fi fan in general.
Right, exactly.
So it would make sense.
Yeah, exactly. And I kind of feel like the paranormal kind of stuff just kind of falls in line with sci-fi as well.
Yeah. See, I like horror that feels very real and really scares me, which for me is a good slasher movie. So something where people are just being stalked or a killer is just killing people randomly, like not anyone with any kind of crazy superpowers or anything like that, but just someone who is just going to people's houses and killing people, that scares the shit out of me. Because then if I'm watching it at my house, I'm like, he could be right outside.
Yeah.
So that really scares me. Whereas the paranormal stuff doesn't really scare me that much, because it's like, well, okay, I can mentally separate myself from that. Mm-hmm. Whereas a human who's just going around killing people, I mean, that actually does happen. So it's very easy for me to like picture something like that happening. On the flip side, I really do love the kind of really campy, really bad horror movies.
Uh-huh.
Like a Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Oh, yeah.
Or there was one that was on Netflix or something a while ago. I almost lost friends over this. It was called Thanksgiving. And it was about a evil turkey that killed people on Thanksgiving. And the turkey was just a puppet.
Nice.
Yeah, it just went around killing people. And my friends were very angry that I insisted upon watching it. But I think it's horror that doesn't take itself seriously or knows it's stupid and embraces the absurd. I think that can be fun too.
I've got a couple in my honorable mention that I think
in that kind of vein.
Fall in that, yeah, that campiness.
Yeah, so I mean, and there's places for all these types. I mean, it's not in my honorable mentions or my Fierce Five or anything, but I could go for a Saw movie every now and then just because.
See, I don't like the gore porn kind of stuff.
I mean, every now and then I think it could be a little fun in a creepy kind of way. I don't know. Like I've gone to see some of them just because almost in respect of like how absurd those are. I mean, those are almost campy in their own little way.
I can't remember if we've ever talked about this, but have you seen Human Centipede?
I saw the first one. I haven't seen either of the sequels because something about the, I've read like the Wikipedia descriptions and it just sounds just way over the line for me.
Yeah. Well, I started watching the first one and it's just, doesn't really appeal to me.
Yeah. What doesn't appeal to me is horror that relies too much on just jump scares.
Like, that's fair. Yeah.
So we just saw The Nun, for example, which we both did not like at all.
That's not in your top?
No, it sure isn't, actually. And that kind of horror that it doesn't really have much of a plot. It just completely relies on, we're going to throw something out of nowhere at you a few times. Yeah. And that's the scare that I hate. It feels lazy, and I don't like lazy horror. I'm fine with it not being super scary or being a certain type of scary that maybe I don't always like, but you got to be creative and do something that maybe I don't expect. Like I like a horror movie that makes me scared, not because something popped up at the screen at me, but something is truly, the thought of something is truly terrifying, mm-hmm. which I'll get into with some of the movies that are in my list.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes I find it hard, like when I was compiling my list, sometimes there were things where I was like, is that even really considered a horror movie? Or,
well, how would you define a horror movie?
Well,
because I was thinking about that too. Like, how do you define what makes a movie a horror movie?
Like, I was thinking about American Psycho.
Yeah, that's a good, let's talk about that.
Yeah. So I considered that for my list, but to be honest, I didn't really consider it a horror movie.
What do you consider it?
I just consider it more of a suspense thriller, but it's also kind of comedic.
Mm-hmm.
So
a movie can fall into different
multiple categories. Yes. Yeah.
I would say American Psycho could be a horror movie. I'll take that.
You would allow that?
So I think a movie that plays on our fears, mm-hmm. and is not toying with necessarily, that's not the word I want to use, but is manipulating what human fear is,
right,
to get that kind of response out of its audience. I think any movie that does that as a central feature of the movie, maybe that's how I would define a horror movie. I think American Psycho does do that.
That's, I mean, yeah, that's a good point.
I think even a movie, if that's the, like, I think of like Black Swan a little bit, like,
yeah,
that could even kind of fall in horror in a certain
like
way.
Like a psychological kind, right, of horror. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that movie can be terrifying. And thinking about how the main character, so Nina, Natalie Portman's character, mm-hmm. is pursuing perfection and does some pretty horrific things in her pursuit of perfection and her paranoia about being overshadowed by someone coming after her. So yeah, that even that can kind of fall into horror if you,
what about a movie like Jaws?
That's another good one. I think that could, yeah, for sure. I mean, there were people who wouldn't even go swimming in the ocean after, yeah, that movie. Like, if a movie can get you to react that way, like literally makes you afraid of something in real life.
Yeah.
That's horror. Like, yeah. I think that's what horror is meant to do.
So when I was putting this list together too, like I was talking with Pete and like, he was like, what about Tucker and Dale versus Evil? And I'm like, that's pure comedy. And I don't know if you've ever seen that one or not.
I've seen parts of that one. I haven't seen it all the way through.
I'm like, that's a comedy. And like Shaun of the Dead, that's a comedy.
Yeah.
But would you also call that a horror?
I don't know. I mean,
because I feel like something like that doesn't necessarily, if we're going by the plays on your fears, I think it's just a funny movie set in a zombie setting, like Zombieland.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, well, there's mashups of types of movies. You've mentioned dramedies before.
Right.
Where something's a drama and a comedy. Maybe a horror, something that's a comedy and a horror. Maybe it's a come-hoardery.
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 We'll leave that there.
What's so funny? I don't get it. It's a come-hoardery.
A come-hoardery.
Right.
Right. Hashtag come hoardery.
Right.
Yeah.
But no, so, and that's the thing. I mean, movies can have several genres. I tend to not put, although one of my movies on my list has a little bit of that comedic spin. Mm-hmm. And I kind of wanted to take a nod to that because I love comedy. So I do have a movie on my list that will dive into that a little bit. One thing I wanted to ask you.
Okay.
I forgot to send it to you when we were texting about the episode, but off the top of your head, do you have any favorite horror, like, villains or creatures or anything that really stick out to you?
Well, that might spoil some of my...
Any that doesn't spoil your okay. list.
Okay, so Friday the 13th is not on my list, but... I really appreciate the classicness of a character like Jason.
Uh-huh.
In fact, just last night, my daughter and I were watching the very first Friday the 13th. She's like, where's Jason?
Oh, yeah. Because he's not there.
Yep. I mean, Michael Myers, of course.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. Michael Myers, which we talked about him a lot on last week's episode. So, yeah, he's on that list for me, too. Just how I appreciate how quiet he is.
Yeah.
How he just seems very focused on what he's trying to do, which is just kill people randomly.
Right.
But again, how he does it so methodically. And again, like I said last week, has a lot of fun with it.
Right. All right. So how about you then?
Well, I did want to bring up one character who is not in horror movies, but I think has all the characteristics that make a great horror villain or icon.
Okay.
Wanted to get your thoughts on this. He's one of my favorite characters in fiction, period. My costume may give it away a little bit, but the Joker.
Oh, okay.
As a horror villain.
He's
not in a horror movie.
Yeah. Okay.
So, especially how he's portrayed in The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
I mean, he's killing people kind of randomly, just causing chaos. I mean, going after in most horror movies, it's a main girl or a main woman character. But in The Dark Knight, it's Batman that he's going after to try to torment. But I mean, he really does embody a lot of the things that make a great horror creature or villain.
Yeah. I mean, and run into him in an alley, I'd be scared to death.
Oh my gosh. Yes. In fact, so I loved when I was a kid, Batman, the animated series.
Uh-huh.
It was really popular during my childhood and such a great show even still. But one of my favorite episodes, there's an episode where a random dude is, did you watch that show?
I did. Absolutely. Yeah.
So there's an episode where a dude is just driving around and, he, I don't know, gets into some sort of altercation with the car that's next, just like you do when you're in traffic and like they cut you off or something or speed past you and you just are honking and getting upset and everything. Well, the person in the other car that he's doing that to turns out to be the Joker. So the Joker starts following him and stalking him and really terrifying him and everything. It's actually a pretty kind of scary episode because the Joker just gets fixated on this guy and he can't escape him and is messing with him the entire episode. And it's really, really good.
Yeah.
And just illustrates how the Joker as a character can be just that super scary kind of character. Yeah. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's one of mine.
Well, so along that kind of line, this should come as no shock, but Darth Vader, especially in Rogue One, where Darth Vader is that dark hallway on the ship, and he's just slicing up people, and you know, that's kind of horrific too. I'd say, you know,
yeah, for sure. So yeah, I like when there's characters in movies that aren't necessarily even horror movies that play on some of those horror elements.
I get you. Yeah.
So, but yeah, let's dive into maybe some honorable mentions our five. So what are your honorable mentions? Things that didn't make your Fierce Five, but maybe just on the cusp.
Well, I'll tell you what, the original Halloween didn't make my cut, but it was very close.
I'll tell you, it's on mine too. Yeah, Halloween is on mine as well.
Your honorable mentions?
My honorable mentions.
Okay. Yep. It's one of those where it's like, it's classic. It's great. It's got some, you know, new life with this new movie. But when I started really thinking about the other ones that are in my list, it was just like, it wasn't quite top five for me.
For sure. Yeah. Again, I just rewatched it very recently. Michael Myers doesn't kill a lot of people, but just it's more the character of Michael Myers that makes it so scary and how he just is stalking these people. And I love how in the new movie, they took out the part about him and Laurie being related.
Because that
makes it even more frightening to me.
Yeah.
Because if they're related, it's like, oh, well, he's not going to come after me. I'm not related to him. But yeah, so cool.
Yeah.
What else?
So I have one from, it's a movie from 1986 called Trick or Treat.
Okay.
And, it's super campy. This kid is obsessed with this heavy metal rock star, and that rock star dies, and this kid brings back the evil spirit of this heavy metal rock star by playing his albums backwards.
Okay.
And, so then this evil rock star spirit starts killing people, and Gene Simmons from Kiss plays a DJ, and Ozzy Osbourne plays a televangelist.
Oh, nice.
It had a killer soundtrack, and it's just for me, that kind of movie just like it had just
speaks to you.
It spoke to me.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
I imagine a lot of your movies on your list are going to be some older movies, just like our original Fierce Five.
Yeah.
And I got to be honest, a lot of mine are much more recent, much like my Fierce Five.
We're a good yin yang.
We are. Yeah. I have been complimented many times on my yang.
Funny. They like my yin. So my other honorable mention is also from 1986, and it's a movie called Critters.
Okay.
And it's it kind of falls in the sci-fi part. It's about these little alien creatures that escape from a prison planet and come down and just wreak havoc on this little farm town. And every time they eat, they grow and get bigger. So all of a sudden you have these giant alien, fuzzy aliens the size of a house. And Scott Grimes was in. I don't know if you know Scott Grimes or not, but it had Dee Wallace Stone. It also had Billy Zane.
Okay, I know Billy Zane.
You know Dee Wallace. She was the mom in E.T.
Okay.
Anyway, so that was one that I actually watched a lot as a kid. So
cool.
All right. Well,
you liked a lot of things that came out in 86. Trick or Treat, Critters, me.
Right?
I'm an 86 feature.
What a great fucking year.
It was a great year.
Yeah. So you mentioned Halloween. What else do you got?
Halloween was one of mine. My oldest movie on my list, the original Psycho.
Okay.
And a lot of mine are on my list because of the circumstances under which I watched them made them more terrifying. So I caught Psycho. It was when I was a teenager. I was in my room.
It sounds like a disease. I caught Psycho.
I was in my room. It was super late at night and I just couldn't sleep. And I was flipping channels on the TV in my room and Psycho was on. And I watched it. And I think something about it just being dark and middle of the night, it just really hit me, and it was so terrifying. And I remember being like, oh, it's some old movie. It's not going to scare me. And it did. So the original Psycho.
This was not the Anne Heche version.
That's not the original? What are you talking about?
Right.
It's a really old movie. It came out in 1998.
Right.
So there were movies before then? No. The original Alfred Hitchcock, black and white.
Yeah.
Psycho. Yeah. I'm going to go in chronological order.
Okay.
So, the next one is The Shining.
Oh, that's a good one.
Super creepy. Just a very well made movie in general. Stanley Kubrick was so meticulous in how he made his movies and just some of the little details he put in. I watched a whole documentary about some of the like creepy details about The Shining. Things like if you follow, for instance, when the kid is riding his tricycle around the hotel, mm-hmm. it doesn't, the floor plan doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, right, right.
Like there's rooms that shouldn't be there based on, or parts of the hallway that shouldn't be there based on earlier scenes we saw where people are walking around. Like, and just things like that, that really fuck with your mind, but you may not notice while you're watching it, is really cool. So I just love that about that movie. I already mentioned Halloween. I'm going to mention the series of movies, but the Scream movies. Mm-hmm. I like all of them, all four of them. Even I know a lot of people hate anything other than the first one, but I like all of them. They're fun. Especially, I think they have some of the best the first scenes of all of them.
Yeah.
Like there was one night they were all on Netflix or something, and I watched just the first opening scene of all four of them. Just because I had some time, but not enough time to watch an entire movie, but wanted to watch something scary. So I did that, and that was fun.
I really like that first one.
I like all of them for their own little reasons. And then the last one I'm going to mention is maybe one that more people aren't familiar with. But it's called VHS.
Okay. I've heard of it. I've never seen it.
But it's an anthology movie. There's two of them. And I like both of them really well. So each of them has about, I think, four or five small movie, short films within this one big movie. And they're each directed by different people. And,
gotcha.
I really liked it. I thought it was a good concept. Really cool. Both movies I would recommend and have different elements of different types of horror. So if you're not into one kind, you may still see something you like in them and have some really creative takes on some horror tropes and things. And those both came out within the last few years. They're not very old at all. And I really like them. So those are all my honorable mentions.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, what do you say we start getting into our Fierce Five?
Let's make it fierce.
Or do we call it our Fright Five?
So Fierce Five.
Fierce Five. Our Fierce Five. All right.
What's your first one you want to talk about?
My first one is from 1979.
Of course. Like I said, yours are all... Well, okay, before we end, so what's the most recent one, not the title, just most recent year of a movie you're going to talk about?
1987.
Yep.
Yeah. So I put my list in chronological order as opposed to, you know, because I didn't want to do a 1 through 5 best worst.
But, meanwhile, I think all mine have come out within the last, the oldest one maybe 11 years old.
Wow. Well,
2007, okay. 2008, around then.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're different.
We are.
Yeah.
It's cool.
That's what makes this fun. So it's Alien, the original Alien.
Okay.
That movie, like, I feel like the sequels became more and more just straight up sci-fi.
Yeah.
But that original one is truly a horror movie, just set in space.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that pretty young, not in 1979, but I was pretty young when I saw that, and it instantly, I mean, it scared the shit out of me, but I instantly fell in love with that movie.
Yeah. It's really good. I love that one too.
And I've been a Sigourney Weaver fan like ever since.
Yeah.
Avatar notwithstanding.
I mean, that scene where the alien bursts out of his chest, that's just super iconic horror.
Absolutely.
And even though
it has been spoofed a lot too.
Yeah. And even though it's set in space, I still found it. I think one of the things I liked about it is that it still made me scared in a like actual frightened way, even though it's set in space.
Right. But it's confined quarters So
it's still very scary.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate about it, because a lot of times movies like that don't really scare me, because it's like, oh, that couldn't happen to me. But I don't know. Some about it, it scared me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing with alien things, too, though, is, like, you don't know that that can't happen.
Like, you can say that about any movie.
Fair enough. All right. What's the first on your list here?
The first on my list can certainly happen, and that's why it scares the shit out of me. And it is a movie. It's maybe the oldest movie on my list, which is sad. But The Strangers...
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that was a good one.
So 2007, I believe, is when it came out, or 2008. But just that whole notion of people randomly showing up to your house and killing you. And it's all summed up in that final bit where Liv Tyler just asks them, why are you doing this to us? and their answer is, you were home.
Yeah.
Like, that is, that scares me shitless. It's like, what?
Yeah, you were home.
Yeah, like, that, I mean, that moment is just so crazy. And it does such a good job. It doesn't do a whole lot of jump scares. It does, what it does that I love in a horror movie is a lot of wide shots where you like slowly start to see someone emerge in the background, which then makes you for the rest of the movie constantly, you're looking at every corner of the screen, just trying to see if you can see something, almost like a very scary Where's Waldo.
Well, and it's almost more scary to anticipate what's getting ready to happen,
right,
and wondering when it's going to happen, as opposed to just boom.
Yeah, because again, it's not even the number of kills or the creativity of the kills. Like, the kills in this movie aren't super creative, and they're certainly not numerous. I mean, there's only a couple of people.
Right.
It's a very small cast and a very confined space, but it's just the horror of this could happen very easily. And there was a sequel that was released this year that I haven't seen yet.
Haven't seen that either.
Yeah. But that first one, man, the reason some of these were on my list is because of the circumstances under which I watched them. The first time I saw The Strangers was actually on DVD at a friend's apartment when I was in college. Me and my two best friends at the time, we went to watch the movie. We had to stop it at one point. And we literally, it was dark, it was nighttime. We literally went to every single door and window and made sure they were locked. That's how scared we were watching this freaking movie.
So it did its job.
It sure did. So yeah, The Strangers it's really good. And I watched that one fairly recently within the last couple months, and it holds up. It's frightening.
Nice one. So now I'm going to take us back to 1981.
We're just going to ping pong in time,
right?
If you will, stick with us on this. Again, I think that's great. There were some Psycho was originally on my list, but I decided to leave it off so that I can maybe on my Fierce Five focus on more of the recent horror. Because I feel like we're in a horror renaissance. I feel like a lot of really great horror has come out in the last 10 or so years. But there's so much great that we had in the past too. So that's why I left the ones that are older on my honorable mentions and focus more on the...
Knowing that I would be covering...
I knew you would cover... The oldies, but the goodies.
You know, for me, though, it's like when I'm coming up with a list of like favorite ever, it's like, well, yeah, it's going to be the ones that stick with me the longest. But there is something to be said for
you like
new
favorites. And you like nostalgia.
Yeah.
That's very much your thing, which is great.
So so my second one is An American Werewolf in London.
Okay. I haven't seen that
one. You haven't seen that?
No.
Oh, it's so good. I've been trying to get my daughter to watch that one, and she was like, it sounds stupid. But it's really good. Oh, my God. It's really good. So it's about two Americans who are travel over to London, and they are walking in this field at night, and they're attacked by a werewolf, and one of them is killed. The other one becomes a werewolf. And then the one that was killed keeps coming back, kind of as a ghost type zombie. He progressively gets like more decomposed and stuff, but keeps coming to his friend, warning him that he's changing in a bad way. And, the special effects in that movie, for 1981 were astounding. And I feel like they still hold up. I mean, in my opinion. But anyway, if you get a chance to check out American Werewolf in London, I highly recommend it.
Cool. I will have to. I've heard good things about it. And it's one that's on a list of movies I need to watch that I've never seen. I'm kind of embarrassed I've never seen.
Yeah.
It's definitely on that list for me.
Yeah, that's like me with Exorcist, though. I still have not seen that.
What?
Yeah.
It's not on my Fierce Five. But
I was going to say it's too old to be on your list.
Not not only that, but like, again, the a lot of people are truly disturbed by The Exorcist, and a lot of people have it as their number one horror movie of all time. For me, it goes back to that, like, the supernatural stuff just doesn't get me as much.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel real enough for me. Whereas if I was super religious, I feel like maybe it would creep me out more. So I get why it's super creepy. It's really good. It's really well made. It is super creepy. It just doesn't quite do it for me the way it does for a lot of other people.
For Catholics.
Not even just Catholics, but I don't know. It's just something about it just doesn't quite get it to that level for me.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So what does get to that level for you?
Well, my second one I'm going to talk about, and again, these aren't necessarily ranked for me, but they a lot of them represent different kinds of horror I like.
Okay.
And this one is one that kind of maybe straddles the line between like a horror and a thriller.
Gotcha.
It's a very well-made movie. It's super recent. I feel like it should have won Best Picture in the Oscars. And it's Get Out.
Okay.
I love Get Out.
Yeah, that's a very good one.
And I think horror can be a really great way to provide social commentary on things that are happening in society. A lot of horror movies do that in a little more obscure ways, whereas Get Out does it in a fairly direct way.
Yeah,
it's true. It's not being around the bush. It's talking about race in America, and it both sheds light on the experience of the Black community in America, and in a way that's very unique and different than a lot of other great movies. Like Selma is another recent movie I love that sheds light on what that experience is like. But this does it in a way, Jordan Peele does it in a way that's very unique and different, and really shows through a horror lens some of the African American experience. And I really appreciated that aspect of it. It provides such an interesting social take while also being a very entertaining horror movie.
yeah.
Where not all monsters and not all demons are wearing masks or haunting your dreams or are supernatural aliens from space. Some are just
scary white people.
Scary white people in khakis.
Right.
And
with teacups.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it did a really great job of, from the horror aspect of things, showing that horror can truly come from anywhere.
Yeah.
It's not something supernatural, but something that can reside in anyone, and you got to keep your guard up or else they can come for you. So that's why I love that movie. I include it on my Fear Five. I'm also still bitter that it didn't win Best Picture this past year. It really should have, but
it won in our heart.
No, it won in my heart. 'Cause you picked Shape of Water.
I know.
You jerk. So I think that one, I think as time goes on, that one's actually probably going to be even more highly regarded, mm-hmm. As a film, but also as a horror movie. I don't know. We'll see. And Jordan Peele is doing the new Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited to see his take on that.
Is that going to be a TV series or a movie?
It's going to be a TV series. It's only going to be available, I believe, on CBS's
All Access
app. Yeah.
Okay.
So I might have to download the free trial version of that when they release all of the Twilight Zone episodes, because I love the original Twilight Zone.
Yeah. You'll have to wait till the season's done, though, because the bummer is they release one at a time each week.
That's stupid. I'll do that.
Yeah. All right. So my next one is the original Poltergeist from 1982.
I have seen that one.
Oh, have you?
Yes.
Did you see the awful remake?
I did not see the awful remake. No.
Some people might not think it's awful, but I think it's awful. So I have a story with that movie. My shortly after it came out, once it made its way to HBO, my mom, so this was probably 83, my mom came downstairs on a Sunday morning at like 7 o'clock in the morning or something like that. And I'm sitting in front of the TV watching Poltergeist, and she was furious. Sunday morning, God's day, and you're down here watching that movie. And ever since, I've loved it. But no, I mean, Steven Spielberg and the great cast, and the music was really good too. Yeah, and that's another one where, like, that kind of stuff to me, like, I thought that really could happen.
Sure.
Especially
because, well, you were a stupid kid.
Exactly. I was a stupid kid.
All children are dumb.
Right.
And believe anything can happen.
You know, so I was scared to death of, like, clown puppets and you know, stuffed animals sitting. I was scared to death of big trees outside of the window.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, it was very effective in making a lasting impression.
Well, that's another one I've seen, but it's been more recently that I saw it. So okay. I didn't see it through a stupid child's eyes.
Yeah.
But one of the things that interests me, there's a couple of, like, behind the scenes things that interest me about that movie even more.
Yeah.
Isn't it, like, supposedly like super cursed?
Yeah. Like, so the girl who played Carol Ann died. And then
a lot of people have made old movies die, but, like, she died like young. Yeah.
But then the girl that played Carol Ann in Poltergeist 2, she died young also.
Right.
So yeah, it's known to have been a cursed movie.
Yeah. And then the other thing is that he wasn't credited as the director, but Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
It's kind of like known that he basically directed the movie
right
at the exact same time he was directing E.T. right?
Yeah.
And he basically directed two movies, completely different types of movies, at the exact same time.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. I can't,
which he did a very similar thing with Jurassic Park and Schindler's List in 93,
but was actually credited as director on both.
Yes, he actually directed both, but almost simultaneously. Like, he was doing production of one while doing post-production of the other, like, which is not really heard of.
Right. But right, on Poltergeist, he was credited as a producer. But
it's, like, widely known that he
basically
directed the movie.
Correct. And it feels like a Spielberg movie.
Yeah. So that's a cool thing about that one, I think. Cool. So the third one I want to talk about is actually a foreign movie.
Okay.
Not American, actually. I don't know. It's Swedish.
I was just going to say, I bet it's from Switzerland.
It's not. It's Swedish. It's from Sweden. So there's Sweden. That. It's also from 2008, like The Strangers. And it's Let the Right One In.
That's a good one.
I love that movie so much.
So it was very close to being on my list. And there, I do have a vampire movie on my list, so I didn't want to. And then I wanted to keep with my, you know, classic time frame. But that is a great movie.
Yes. I saw it at this little indie theater in Athens, Georgia, when I was in college. The friend I saw it with hated it. He thought it was the dumbest thing he's ever seen. And I was in love with it the entire time I watched it. Afterwards, as soon as I was able to get my hands on a DVD copy of it, I got it. I still haven't seen the American remake, just because I love the original so much. It's so creepy. Again, there's not a lot of jump scares or anything like that. It's just this whole notion. So it's about... Because I feel like a lot of people probably haven't seen this one, or even haven't seen the American one.
Yeah, yeah.
But because there's an American version called Let Me In.
Right.
But the movie is this young girl vampire befriends a young boy, and basically he falls in love with her and becomes obsessed with her. And yeah, I mean, that's basically the movie. It's almost a love story, but
yeah, and
through
she
kind of a horror lens.
She has, like, the older human,
and that's what's super caretaker. Creepy about it. That horrifies me. It's almost as if she lures these men in and uses them for as long as they're useful until she discards them for a new one.
Right,
and that's what's. It's almost like she's getting this young boy ready.
To take over.
To be that man.
Yeah.
And that's what's super cool and super horrifying and tragic and awesome about this movie. And just some of the kind of big scenes. So the one in the hospital where they open the window.
Yeah.
And the woman just catches on fire. That one.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, that was so cool to me. I thought the way it was filmed was amazing. And then, of course, the pool scene.
The pool scene is incredible. Oh,
that scene is so...
so good.
I was losing my shit in the theater when that was happening.
Yeah.
Just smiling. It was so badass and
cool. I'm ready to revisit this movie now. It's been a while since I've seen it. Now,
I mean, same. It's actually been a few years since I've seen it, and I feel like I need to watch it again just because it's so good.
I was kind of excited when the American version came out, for one, because Chloe Grace Moretz played the vampire girl.
Yeah. How is it?
It's good. But if I were going to put one or the other on to watch regularly, it would be the original.
Yeah.
But if you just can't handle subtitles.
Yeah.
It's fine. But the original is really so much better.
Yeah. Oh, it's so well made. I mean, it's kind of that it's slow. It's not a hit a minute, you know, kind of movie. It's a slow build, and it's more... the horror of the situation is what drives the frightening aspect of it. It's not a bunch of, again, it's a vampire movie, but there's not a whole bunch of jump scares. There's not a bunch of that kind of thing.
Right.
But it still just makes it so creepy.
She never turns into a bat.
Right. No. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great pick.
Thank you. What's your next one?
So my next one is the original A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Okay.
So that's from 1984. The first Nightmare on Elm Street movie I ever saw was actually the second one, Freddy's Revenge. We kind of talked about that a little bit when we talked with Doug. Nightmare on Elm Street 3 was on his list.
Yes.
And of the Nightmare on Elm Street movies, it's probably actually my favorite of them. However, I don't find it to be scary.
Okay.
So.
Well, as the series goes on, I do feel like Freddy becomes more and more just campy.
Yes.
And less actually scary.
Right.
Yeah.
And then after that, and I went back and then watched the original, especially after seeing Freddy kind of in this funny kind of campy way, to go back then and see the original and actually be scared then, you know?
Yeah.
It scared the shit out of me. And of course it's also the cast was really good in that.
Johnny Depp was in the
That's right. That was Johnny Depp's first movie. Heather Lane.
Isn't it ironic that Johnny Depp was in that movie, gets killed by him, and then goes on to be a man with knife fingers on his own.
Yeah.
In his own movie, Edward Scissorhands.
But so, and like I said, I just watched, the first Friday the 13th last night, and totally forgot that Kevin Bacon was in that. I think that might have been his first movie.
Okay.
Gets killed pretty fast, too. So,
I have a funny Nightmare on Elm Street story.
Okay.
So the first time I watched Nightmare on Elm Street, I was in college. I watched a lot of horror movies in college, apparently. But
it's a frightening time.
I was at my best friend's apartment, and he had no windows in his apartment, so it wasn't nighttime. It was middle of the day, but we turned off all the lights, so it felt like nighttime. It was completely dark, only the movie. And he had this little cat, this son of a bitch cat, named Loki, appropriately. And we're sitting there watching the movie, and right when there was about this, like, horror, scary jump scare moment where Freddy does something really scary, right at the exact same moment, as if he was planning it this entire time, Loki, unbeknownst to me, was behind me on the couch and jumps down onto me from behind, scaring the shit out of me. Right. I almost threw this cat across the room. That stupid cat. Oh, I hate cats.
And pussy.
I hate all of it, but especially Loki.
Oh, that's funny.
But yeah, that so that was my most memorable Nightmare on Elm Street moment.
Well, it is a classic for sure.
It is. It's a good movie. Except it probably of every horror movie ever has the worst special effects single scene.
Which scene is that?
The very end of the movie where he grabs the mom and drags her through the window.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it is so obviously the worst puppet mannequin thing you've ever... Like, it's comically bad.
That is pretty bad.
How terrible it looks. By any... Even by whatever year in the 80s this movie was made standards.
84.
Like... I feel like mannequins in 1984 probably looked more realistic than whatever they used to substitute for the mom. Like, that one scene alone is so comically terrible.
I was just saying, I mean, it had to be in, like, something foam or whatever, because it still had to, like, squeeze through that window. So.
It's almost as if the day before they released the movie, they had the idea to include that scene. Like, shit, what can we do in the next 3 hours to make this happen? Oh, it's bad.
Yeah.
Yes.
What's next on your list?
Okay. So the next movie on my list. Oh, we're getting down to the wire.
Yeah. We're
yeah. So another pretty recent movie came out last year also, I believe, is super creepy. And I've watched it a couple times and it's supernatural and it super creeps me out, which tells you something, because supernatural movies really don't creep me out that much. But this movie is so unsettling and dark, and there's no levity or lightness or moment of humor in it at all. It's all heavy, beats you over the head, and it's The Witch.
I still haven't seen that.
It's the creepiest movie.
Really?
It's so unsettling. Like, from a purely that's fucked up kind of movie.
Okay.
I mean, it sets a tone pretty early on. So it's about this puritanical family in New England in, like, the, I don't know, Puritan days.
Right,
I guess.
Right. 1700s.
That kind of get banished from the community they live in. So they go to live in the middle of nowhere in, like, the forest, which happens to be the territory of what may or may not be a witch. Okay. The things that start to happen that drive this family mad, and it just gets creepier and creepier and worse. And man, it takes you for a ride. It is truly wild and spooky. And it's such a slow burn. Again, there's not really jump scares.
Yeah.
It's more just the nature of what's happening is scary and creepy, and that's what drives the horror, that you're like, oh my god, I can't believe this is happening. And it's slowly, every character is slowly going insane in the movie.
Wow.
And it just, man, it's so creepy. And the ending of it, I don't know, I feel like the ending could probably be pretty divisive. I think some people may think the ending is maybe a little too literal, but I think it's so... It is what naturally the movie is building towards.
That's actually one of the criticisms that I've heard about the movie, was that people had issue with the ending.
I think the ending is kind of what it's natural. That's my thought. It's what it's naturally building towards, and it just fits with everything that's it's been built to be. To where I found the ending very creepy and very just... unsettling. Yes. So that's the movie. If I really truly want to be creeped out more than any other movie, that's what I would watch.
Were you a fan at all of the Blair Witch, the original Blair Witch Project?
That's another one. I happened to, for the first time, watching the middle of the night one night.
Yeah.
On cable when I couldn't sleep, and yeah, it really creeped me out as well.
Yeah, I liked that one. I saw that one in the theater, actually.
Yeah.
Witches can be kind of a creepy thing, man.
Yeah. Bette Midler. Right. But yeah, no, yeah, this one, I highly recommend it. If, again, there's no humor.
Yeah.
It is, it just is a slow.
So in other words, if you laugh at that movie, you're really fucked up.
Or you're just laughing because of how uncomfortable or how fucked up the movie is.
Yeah.
Like, it's an uncomfortable, nervous laughter.
Gotcha.
At just how crazy things get. But yeah, it's very unsettling.
All right.
Like I said, yeah.
Cool.
Are we at number ones?
We are at number ones.
Oh, this is fun. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. And mine is my favorite.
Is it?
Yeah. Is yours?
You know, actually probably is.
Okay.
It probably is. Cause it's one of those movies that I revisit this movie a lot. But it's got some really frightening imagery in it, especially if you're younger and watching it. But there's definitely some funny moments too. But it's The Lost Boys. You're
not talking about my Tinder profile?
I am not talking about your Tinder boy, unless you cater to Lost Boys on your Tinder profile.
Almost exclusively.
There you go.
Lost Boys. I haven't seen that one.
Oh, it's so good. It really is. But it is. At times kind of campy. But Kiefer Sutherland is really good in it. It's got the Coreys.
Uh-huh. Feldman and Haim.
Yes.
I know some 80s references.
There you go. You know what's funny too is like I wanted to be a vampire so bad after seeing that movie. it's weird. Like I made patches for my jacket that said I'm a lost boy. The soundtrack was like, I played it just all the time because I was like, this is my soundtrack. I love that movie very much.
Okay.
You know what's funny though, too? Like, I'm looking at my list and there, every one of these has either had a terrible sequel or a really bad remake.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I guess that happens a lot with those older stories, but like, the Poltergeist remake, bad. Nightmare on Elm Street remake, bad. Lost Boys had two sequels that came out in like the starting in the maybe late 90s, early 2000s, before Corey Haim died.
Okay.
Bad.
Okay.
So Alien is probably the only one that had like any kind of good sequels, but it also had Alien versus Predator.
Yes.
So it still falls under that category, but the originals of all those movies, there you go. So what is your number one?
My number one also has a campy comedic side to it.
Okay.
Of course. Also a super memorable movie going experience. Cause I had heard before I went to see this movie in 2012 that it kind of took a turn, took a twist, was very unexpected. So I was very intent on not knowing what was going to happen.
Gotcha.
So I went in with as blank a slate as I could and was so thrilled at how everything turned out. And it's a movie we talked about pretty recently.
Okay.
Because we talked about Drew Goddard.
Yeah.
And it's Cabin in the Woods.
That's what I was going to guess it was.
I love Cabin in the Woods because of how meta it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it does play as a horror movie and has a lot of elements of a great horror movie. But then in the middle to two thirds of the way through, just takes a complete
right.
left-hand turn and goes in the opposite direction of where you think it's going at all in a way that is so both funny and fun and entertaining and refreshing and different and smart. But still like brutal. And oh, just that the final sequences of that movie alone.
Yeah.
My jaw was on the floor the entire time. I was like, is this really happening? I'm not going to spoil what happens
right.
on this in case anyone hasn't seen it, but man, just the turn it takes and how unexpected it is and how I was just, it's the biggest twist that I feel like I've ever had in a movie where I was just smiling ear to ear the entire, that entire second part of that movie.
It's definitely a movie that if you were lucky enough to catch it without knowing anything going in.
Yes, which I was.
You will be better off for it.
I knew something happened. I knew the thing I had heard was the less you know about this movie, the better. It takes a turn. So I knew that. And as soon as I heard that, I shut myself off to anything I could possibly hear. I was like, as soon as I can see this movie, I need to, because I love when I hear stuff like that. And then I saw it and I was like, wow. Yeah. Even knowing that something was going to happen, I couldn't have predicted it was going down that path. And it's so meta. And it's Bradley Cooper and Richard, what's his name? From, he was in Shape of Water, nominated for the Oscar. He was in Step Brothers.
Yes, yes, yes. Shit.
I just pulled it up. Richard Jenkins.
Richard Jenkins. Sorry. But it's not Bradley Cooper, is it? It's
Bradley Cooper. Chris Bradley Hemsworth. Whitford. Bradley Whitford.
And Chris Hemsworth.
Bradley Whitford and Richard Jenkins. But no, those two characters, I mean, Bradley Whitford and Richard Jenkins. Mm-hmm. Those two characters are kind of the comedic relief of the movie.
Yeah.
And you don't really know what's going on and what they're doing for the first part of it or how it's connected to the main story. But just everything that happened. I think I've heard some people have some issues with the ending and how it ends and what happens, especially with, there's a, you spoke of Sigourney Weaver and being a fan of hers. She has a cameo, in this movie, and people don't really like her cameo or where that takes the movie, but I don't know. I kind of liked it. I thought it was, I thought it was kind of cool, how they explained just, away the ending. It's absurd. Yeah. It's completely absurd and different, but I like that. I like movies that just say, fuck it. We're doing this. We're not going to be like every other movie.
And movie it pays off that. For this one. It doesn't always work, but it paid off for this one.
For me, it does. For other people, again, there are people who leave it and like, what the hell was that? That was stupid. I don't like what they did with that. But I love just how different and weird it is. It's produced by Joss Whedon and directed by Drew Goddard. I mean, I think both of them are very creative and great, despite not liking Bad Times at El Royale.
Well, and I think they wrote it like literally in a weekend.
Yeah. They had to have been high as crazy. Shit too. Yeah. They had to have been so high when they wrote this. And Chris Hemsworth, he's in it. It was kind of his early, I think he had already done Thor.
Yeah.
But was, this is maybe the first like big thing after Thor.
Yeah.
And so he was still relatively unknown, but was probably the biggest name in that cast. So it was cool to see him and his role in this is really fun. And the way he dies in this, and his death is one of the funniest, probably, I think, if you remember.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. But just so good. I love this movie so much.
Great. That's another one I feel like I need to revisit now, too.
Oh, for sure. I haven't seen that one in a couple of years. I need to see that one again. Yeah.
Well, awesome. I think that was a good round list. I was actually kind of surprised that you didn't have A Quiet Place in your list.
No, I mean, it's just, I love A Quiet Place. I'm probably going to talk about it again when we talk about our 10 favorite movies of this year. But I don't know. These other five.
Yeah.
Just, these are all time great. Like, these are ones that if these five, if someone said they hadn't seen them, I would make them sit down and watch it. Whereas A Quiet Place, I would highly recommend it, but I wouldn't make someone sit down and watch it.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Sure. So come Halloween time.
Yes.
Sometimes you got kitties or whatever. And sometimes you want to.
Not even kitties. Just people who don't like the genre.
Yeah. Okay. So you got people like my husband, Pete, who hates scary movies.
But that's the thing. I feel like more than any other genre, there are people who don't like certain genres of movies. Like, some people don't like dramas. Some people don't like romantic comedies. But like, if push comes to shove, you can get them to go watch them.
Right.
Whereas horror movies, there are people who like are dead set. Like, I will not watch a horror movie. Never.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, that's just, there are people who I think more than any other genre are like that.
but they like funny.
But they want to be part of. But they want to be part of things. Yeah. They want to be included, and
or they like the holiday of Halloween. Right.
And we're a very inclusive couple of people here at the Real Gay Movie
Absolutely.
Show.
Absolutely.
So this is your time. We're dedicating the rest of this show to you, the pussies out there who don't like horror movies.
All right, so in lieu of then regular recommendations, we're going to talk about some of recommend a couple like more lighthearted.
Yeah. We've recommended some stuff that may be frightening, terrifying. Things that you're listening to and like, I'm good. I'm not gonna do that.
That's not for
so
me.
We're gonna recommend some things that if you're not into getting scared, but you still want to take part in the Halloween season,
yeah.
Here's what you can consume to feel part of things.
Yeah. So I'm gonna start off if you don't mind.
Please. By all means.
Have you ever seen the animated movie Monster House?
I have not seen the animated movie Monster House.
It's kid friendly. But it still kind of plays to like, you know, your fears of a haunted house and stuff like that.
Okay.
Steve Buscemi is one of the voices in there of like this crazy old man. But this house is basically alive and torments these kids that live across the street from it. But anyway, it's been a while since I've seen that one too. But it's one of those movies where it's like kids will be scared, but adults can have fun with it too.
Yeah. Okay.
So
you're still scaring the children.
Still scaring children.
I'm a fan.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Well, I mean, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this one because we talked about it in my Fierce Five.
Yeah.
My original Fierce Five. Your original. But Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah.
It's a solid. If you want to watch a good Halloween movie, a lot of people are going to say Hocus Pocus. That's what you should watch.
Yeah.
Hocus Pocus is fine, but I'm going to go with Nightmare Before Christmas. I've already watched it this season. I watch it every year. And what's great about Nightmare Before Christmas, it can work as a Halloween or a Christmas movie. So
I'm saving it for Christmas this year.
That's fine. Yeah. Every year you can do it a different holiday.
Decide what you
So want. It's great. But what I'm going to recommend, my full recommendation. So I've mentioned on the show before that I'm a big fan of The Simpsons.
Uh-huh.
And every year they do a Halloween episode called Treehouse of Horrors. And in that episode, it doesn't flow with the continuation of the series. It's just three mini episodes within the episode of play on horror.
Yeah.
And I've been rewatching a bunch of them. I have the FX app where you can see any Simpsons episode ever. And I've been watching those and they're just so good. They're funny, but also a little scary. Some of them are, but there's some classics. There's one where they redo The Shining, where Homer is Jack Nicholson from The Shining. But instead of going crazy because of ghosts in the hotel, he goes crazy because he has no beer or TV. It's just so good.
Yeah.
There's one that's very relevant right now because, you know, it's election season and there's one from way, way back in 1996.
The aliens.
Yeah. The aliens come down and, it was in 1996 and they Clinton to be Bill Clinton and Bob Dole, so that no matter who they elected, it would be an alien and they could take over the world, which is great. So yeah, they're just so good. There's so many great ones. A lot of them reference horror movies from the past or just horror tropes. And I love them. They're so great. I don't watch a lot of new Simpsons because the quality is just not quite where it was, but I will watch the new Treehouse of Horror just to see, because sometimes they have some really good and fun bits with that.
I probably haven't watched a new Simpsons episode in 10 or 15 years.
Yeah, most people haven't.
Yeah.
But
why is it still on then? I don't get it.
30 years.
It's incredible.
30 years. But yeah, but the new Treehouse of Horror, I will watch new Treehouse of Horror. I just won't watch anything else.
Are there any other movies that, like around Halloween time, like you just feel like you want to watch just for the season? Like for me, E.T. Like, I watch E.T. every Halloween because it takes place around Halloween time, but isn't a horror movie.
I don't know if any other movies necessarily. I mainly just, I'll watch like Halloween episodes of shows I really like.
Yeah.
So obviously Jurassic Horror, but right. also like there's a Halloween episode of The Office. A couple of Halloween episodes of The Office that are really good. Like I like doing that with any holiday. Yeah. Like when Thanksgiving comes around, I like watching Thanksgiving episodes of shows I like, or especially Christmas. When Christmas comes around, there's Christmas episodes or so. But I like going back and doing that. Movie wise, the thing with Halloween that's different from say Christmas, Halloween has an entire genre of movies that's associated with it. Like horror. You just watch horror movies.
Yeah.
Which you can do all year round. It just makes more sense to watch it. Or Halloween is a time where you want to watch them more.
Right.
Whereas like Christmas, it's Christmas movies.
It's Christmas movies.
You don't watch Christmas movies in May and June and July. Like you don't do that. You wait till Christmas for the most part.
Right.
There's not really anything Halloween specific that I watch other than at Halloween time.
I do have one more recommendation that is something current.
Okay.
I just started watching on Netflix, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Okay.
And it's kind of a new telling of the Sabrina the Teenage Witch
story. But it seems from what I saw in the trailer to be a little less just comedic and sitcom-y.
It's a little, you know, it's definitely more, it's more in the same vein as Riverdale because it's part of the Archie Comics thing.
Okay.
So it kind of is, it's a little darker, but it's not so bad that, you know, it would be considered like a true, you know, it's not like a American Horror Story or something like that. But it's so far, I'm about 5 or 6 episodes in and I'm enjoying it.
Well, I've watched the first episode of speaking of Netflix, The Haunting on Hill House.
I'm dying to see that. I've heard it's great.
The first episode didn't quite suck me in as much as I wanted it to. But I'm going to give it another shot probably here in the next day or two. We're recording this on Monday, so I still have a couple days till Halloween. Yeah. So I'll probably watch it here in the next couple of days because, I mean, people are posting all... I feel like every other Facebook post I see is about that show.
Yeah.
So I feel like I gotta stick with
Give it a go.
I mean, the first episode wasn't bad. It just... It is that kind of paranormal stuff that doesn't really get me too much. Mm-hmm. But I'm gonna give it a shot. I'm gonna see where it goes, where it takes me. We'll see.
Give it a shot. Maybe we'll revisit it and see what...
Maybe so.
I'll have to check it out too. All right. Anything else?
I think we're good. Happy Halloween. Any Halloween costumes this year? Were you anything?
Actually, I won scariest costume at work.
Wasn't it sad that you just went to work in your normal clothes too?
That is exactly what I was wearing. Kid you not, I had a hoodie on and sunglasses, but I was carrying around a cereal box that was stabbed with a spoon and I had fake blood on it. And I said I was a serial killer.
Oh my God. So you were a walking dad joke?
I was a walking dad joke.
Ugh.
And I won scariest contest.
Oh my gosh. Well, I had a Care Bear onesie, but I do this thing where like, I have a fear that other people are going to be what I am. So I have to do some sort of twist.
Okay.
So you're a Star Wars fan. A couple years ago, I had a Chewbacca onesie, but I was afraid other people would be Chewbacca. So I got like an Elsa wig and a few other lady accessories.
Okay.
And so people
would be Chewbacca?
Well, I was Chewbacca's sister, Chewbecky.
Okay.
So this year I had a Care Bear onesie. Now that I'm in Ohio, I can't wear all these slutty costumes. I have to wear onesies just in case it's really cold, which it was this year. And I put little hearts on his tummy, so I put little X's over the hearts. And then I got a jacket that had the Melania Trump, I really don't care to you thing on the back of it. So I was a don't care bear.
That's good.
Yeah. So like a care bear, but I don't. So that was my costume this year.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I liked it a lot.
All right, everybody. Well, if you haven't already, become a real friend. Follow us on Twitter at Real Gay and Instagram at Real Gay Movie Show. Like our page on Facebook. Also, wherever you listen, iTunes, Stitcher, Google, or Spotify, please subscribe and give us some feedback. You can also send questions or comments to realgaymovieshow@gmail.com. So that's it for this week. Have a scary gay day.